Good morning. We have a big week ahead of us, something we've been looking forward to for quite some time, and we are going to be very blessed if we come and we participate. And that's the only way you're going to be blessed, is to be here and to participate in the Carolina Lectures this week. We have wonderful men that know God's Word, have studied it for many years, and have preached it for many years. And they're going to bring their knowledge and their wisdom of experience to bear. I hope and pray that everybody, I mean, we have been announcing this for months. I hope and pray everybody has put it on their calendars and has planned to attend each and every night. I understand that, you know, many work during the day, can't come during the daytime sessions on Thursday and Friday, but the nighttime session with Brother Phil Sanders will be wonderful as well. Please do not miss that. And Saturday is going to have a number of very good men on very good subjects, subjects that are pertinent to today, such as homosexuality, abortion, and ultimately about the Lord's church, and by men such as Brother James Meadows, Jody Apple, and Steve Higginbotham. So we have a lot of very good speakers, and I hope and pray that you are planning to take advantage of the opportunity that God has given to us. There is a question box back on the table. There is one this week. Please, any question that you've had, biblical question that you've had, write that down, put it in that box, because every day, each afternoon, Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we will have an open forum time. Now, people in the audience will be allowed to ask questions during that time, but we also want a supply of questions in case people in the audience don't have very many questions. And so we want those men to be able to answer questions. And so please put those in that box. Last time I checked, there wasn't any. I know y'all are very smart, but there's got to be some questions out there. Put those questions in that box so that not only can you benefit from the answer, but the people that are in attendance can as well. Also, if you are willing and able to help with food, I don't know where Marsha's at on it all, but be sure and talk to her, and they have things. They're going to be signing up out here again this morning. And so check with her out in the foyer today as well for helping, because we have to provide four meals during the time of this lecture. If you looked at the bulletin this morning, my wife said, you know, if you talk about all this, when are you going to have time to preach this morning? The bulletin this morning is on our evangelism plan. Look at that and see all the different things that you can do to be a part of the evangelistic effort of this congregation. Read those things. I'm not going to go over all those things, but I will tell you that if you are able to do a personal Bible study, you're able and willing to do a personal Bible study, and we need to know who you are, please sign up on the list out on the foyer table so that when we have people that are interested in God's Word and need someone to study with them, we will have a ready list of people that we can contact and say, can you study with this individual? This needs to be a group effort, not any one person. If I'm the only one doing Bible studies or two people are doing Bible studies, then we're not going to be able to meet many people's needs. But if we have a lot of people willing to do it and a lot of people's names down, that just multiplies the number of people that we can reach out to with God's Word. So sign up for that. And also the business cards are out there on little racks that I told you about in the sermon a few weeks ago. Take those, put them with your tips, hand them to people, send them in with your bills, spread them out wherever you go, leave them on waiting room tables just to let people know who we are, where we are, and if they have a need, they might call us. And, you know, that's what we want. We want to spread the seed as far and wide as we can. So take as many of those cards as you would like, but all that you take, use. Do not take and just leave them in the bottom of your purse or in the bottom of your wallet, guys. I don't want to imply that all the guys carry wallets. I mean, purses. I hope my sermon goes better. But anyway, do that this morning and take some of those and begin to use those. Those are for that effort. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We'll begin reading at verse 11. I want to read this entire text, and then we will talk about what is taking place in this text. Verse 11 says, "The Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him," him being Jesus, of course. "Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, 'Why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation.' Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side, and they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they being the disciples, they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up?" And they said to him, 12. "When I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets of broken pieces did you pick up?" And they said, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then again, he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not enter the village." Have you ever said about someone, "They just don't get it"? It is frustrating when we think something is so clearly spelled out, and yet the person that we're spelling it out to just doesn't seem to get it. And we talked about it in class this morning. This is certainly a problem that Jesus dealt with not only all of mankind while he was on his earthly ministry, and even to this very day, but especially that he dealt with in regards to the 12 men that were following him. Sometimes we talk about people having learning problems. I actually gave Julie the wrong name. As I studied the lesson, I decided that I had the wrong name. And I want you to note that I'm in the lesson today, I'm not going to talk about learning disability. I think that's something that implies you can't help it. We're talking about learning problems, because I think a lot of people have learning problems. It's not a disability. It's a problem. It's something that involves our choices. And each of us must seriously look at ourselves to see what kind of learner we really are. But in 20 years of preaching and teaching, I have found that many people have a learning problem. The ability to be able to listen and to learn from God's Word. By the way, when Julie asked me, she said, "What's the lesson this week?" and I said, "Do you have a learning disability?" She said, "What?" I said, "No, that's the name of the lesson." She was like, "I thought you were asking me. I thought I asked something really dumb or something." You know, I was like, no. That was just the way it was. It just came right straight out. You know, a person's willingness to learn is different, is the difference between a real substantive faith and someone who's just going through the proverbial motions. Can God teach us what we need to learn today? The text we just read teaches us why some people do not learn. Let's look at some reasons. Number one, some have learning problems because they have no intent of learning. They have no intention to learn. They haven't prepared themselves to learn. The Pharisees did not come with an attitude of, "We want to find the truth." The Pharisees came with the attitude, "We already know the truth, and we're just here to discredit him." They thought they already knew everything that they needed to know. And that's a very dangerous attitude. We have that kind of attitude, we are in very deep spiritual trouble. You know, they even thought they knew more than the Lord. They thought they knew more about the Scriptures than the one who wrote the Scriptures. They didn't think they needed Jesus. And therefore, their ears were closed, their eyes were closed, and their hearts were closed. And Jesus said, "I cannot heal you because you will not listen, hear, or listen, see, or accept." You know, John referred to Jesus as the Word in John 1. And the Word being that Jesus is the embodiment of the Word. And they needed to listen to Him. He was the embodiment of truth. Jesus even said that they thought they had found, what they had thought they had found in Scripture was wrong. In John chapter 5, in verse 39, he says, "You search the Scriptures," here talking to the Pharisees, "you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." All that, whatever they thought that they were finding in the Scriptures was not what Jesus says they needed to find. What they needed to find in Scriptures, the Pharisees, that is, they needed to find Jesus Christ. Because all the Scriptures, all the way from that first prophecy in Genesis 3, all the way through the time that Jesus was speaking those words, was pointing to Him. And everything since is pointing back to Him and toward the resurrection, toward the day of judgment one day. You know, they read the Scriptures, but they had a learning problem. They were unwilling to learn the truth. The Pharisees did not come to Jesus to learn. They came to Jesus to argue. They came to Jesus to test. And folks, that's never a good learning environment. Don't ever go into a situation of Bible study looking to argue. Now, there may be times that you have to argue, and the Lord had to argue with these guys. But don't you go into it looking to argue. Go into looking to teach, to help somebody understand the Word of God. It is more valuable to get someone to understand than it is to win an argument. You know, you can win an argument fairly easy, but have you really helped that person find the truth? Is really what it comes down to for us as teachers. You know, I've seen people in sermons sit and shake their heads very noticeably in disagreement about something that I have said in the sermon, and you know, but it ended up being something that they just didn't know a whole lot about. And they had to make a big scene. They had to make it clear that they were not in agreement, whether they knew anything about the subject or not. Instead of making some kind of argumentative display, they should have been listening to learn. Such displays are often displays of one's ignorance, that they have to show that they know something that they really probably don't know much about. For the person who knows does not have to show it off. They simply want to help. Such people have made the errant determination that they know enough. Therefore, they are unwilling to listen to anyone or anything. And people who are unwilling to listen and to learn are, and don't misunderstand me here, they are impossible to save. The Pharisees were impossible to save. Not because God didn't want to, not because Jesus didn't want to, but because they would not. The person who will not learn from Jesus, the person who will not study the Bible, the person who will not listen to God's words is impossible to save because faith comes from that. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. These people are impossible. They have to change this attitude. And unless one is willing to learn, they will never know what they need to have life, because they will never come to Jesus. Second, some have a learning problem because they do not open their hearts fully to Jesus Christ. You know, this certainly was a struggle for the disciples. They battled hardening of the heart in regards to listening to Jesus' teachings. And Jesus was aware of this in verse 17 when He says, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart?" Well, Jesus isn't asking these questions for Himself. He can see their hearts. He knows what they're thinking. And so this question is kind of like Adam and Eve, "Where are you in the garden?" questions. This is for you. You need to stop and think a minute. You know, they had become closed off to some of the teachings of Jesus Christ. They had certainly closed themselves off to when He taught about His death. They didn't want to hear that, never wanted to hear that. They did not want to hear about His purpose, because His purpose did not match up with what they thought His purpose should be. He should be want to be a king. He should build an army. He should set up a kingdom. That's not what Jesus came to do. And so they weren't receptive to those teachings. They weren't receptive to the teachings of humility, were they? Who's the greatest? They constantly, over and over, are talking about which one of them is the greatest, or they're vying for the right and left seat in Jesus' kingdom one day. So they resist the teachings by Jesus of humility. Now, it's not that they reject Jesus as a whole, but they won't take Him as a whole, right? They want to accept everything. They want to pick and choose. They want the Burger King religion. Have it like you want it. I'll take grace without a whole lot of obedience. Just a sprinkling of sacrifice. You know, but that's not how Christianity works. Jesus often struggled to get past this block with his disciples. They were not being good students. And in such a condition, Jesus was having a problem being able to mold them. You know, in that song, Have Thine Own Way, it talks about being soft, right? So that he can mold us and make us after his will. We need to be soft and willing to let him mold us. Instead of us trying to mold Jesus into our image, the image that we think he should be, we need to let him mold us into his image. Because that's the image we want to be. You know, some also, number three, have learning problems because they failed to benefit from history. Earlier lessons and experience did not teach them anything. See, Tom, this is why we have such a good report. We understand history. Now, I'm not really talking about history from American history or world history in this particular case. You know, Jesus makes mention of the two mass feedings, and he says these things failed to register. You failed to learn the lesson. I mean, I think they kind of walked away with, boy, that was good. Rubbing their belly, loosening their belt. But they didn't get the point. Because the point wasn't about filling your belly. It wasn't about food. Jesus said, beginning with verse 18, having eyes you do not see, having ears do you not hear, and do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? And they said to him, 12. He says, and when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said, 7. And he said, and he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? Why are you sitting there worrying about food? They had one loaf. Do you think Jesus could have fed 12 with one loaf if he fed 5,000? 5? I think so. I think he could have handled it. But see, they're not getting it. Don't you remember that? And he's not even talking about bread, first of all. They're completely, completely missing the point. He's saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. I guess they just heard the word leaven. And they jumped on bread, right? Oh, he's wondering why we don't have bread. No, he ain't wondering why we don't have bread. Pay attention. Ain't worrying about bread. He says, you know, you need to listen. You need to look back at history. This shouldn't be something I'm having to tell you. You should be saying in your heart, yeah, we only have one loaf, but that's all right. He fed 5,000. He fed 4,000 with far less. But that's not what they're thinking. See, sometimes we forget what God has done for us, right? We're very fickle people. Now, I probably have told you this before, but when I was in college, one of the things that we did one time at the student center, I was a student minister, one of the things we did at the student center was We began a prayer journal to write down what we prayed about. Because, folks, to be honest with you, we pray about things and we forget about them tomorrow. And God gives them to us and we forgot we even asked for them, right? And so we fail to give him thanks. We fail to learn what all God has done in answering our prayers. We need to remember what God has done for us. We need to remember the power of God. So when we face difficult times, we go, God can handle this. He's handled it before in my life. He will handle it again in the future. And he'll handle it right now. So often we forget in the passion of the moment. Why are they worrying about food? Well, you know, Jesus isn't concerned about food. You know, Paul learned from his mistakes. Paul looked back upon his life and he remembered his history. He remembered what he was, but he remembered that by the grace of Jesus Christ, what he is. And what the power of Jesus Christ can do in a life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, Paul writes, now these things happened as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. The they there were the Israelites going back to the time in the Exodus in the Sinai that 23,000 of them died because of immorality. Folks, you need to learn from that history. We live in an immoral society, and that's how God felt about it. And Paul says these things happen so that we can understand how God feels about it, right? And while 23,000 may not get struck dead today, that doesn't mean God likes it any more than he did then. He just chooses to deal with it differently than he did then. But as many, however many thousands live in immorality, they will die spiritually in the judgment day if something doesn't change. Last of all, some have learning problems because they do not know how to apply what they have learned. You know, the disciples could recite back facts about previous miracles, and they could not apply the lessons of those miracles to their own lives and to their own situations. I've known people that had a great grasp or ability to memorize scriptures and knew a lot of scriptures, but really didn't understand how those scriptures applied to them. And they said and did things, even I've seen them even while they're quoting scriptures, violating the very scripture they're quoting. Scripture's about humility, kindness, love, and yet using those scriptures in a very unloving and unhumble way. So we need to understand what the scriptures mean. We need the wisdom that God provides to us. It's easy to tell others about God's love and power, but it's also sometimes it's difficult for us to remember what that love and power can do for us and how that affects my life and how my life needs to change in relation to that. You know, sometimes learning will have small victories. You know, we think about Peter's confession, right, in Matthew 16. That's a small victory for Peter. He spoke up and did well. You know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Think about small victories such as Peter again in John chapter 6, right? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, but sometimes those small victories can be followed by periods of regression. You realize that in the same chapter that Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in that same chapter, in fact, in the same extended conversation, Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because he says, I won't let it happen. The Lord says, what's going to happen? He says, I won't let it happen. And Jesus calls him Satan. You're trying to keep me from doing what I came to do. So such a moment of victory followed just right on the heels of a moment of victory with one of terrible defeat because he didn't apply what he had just said. You know, when he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, when Jesus said he was going to die, he should have said, well, you're God, you can do whatever you want, right? Do it however you want. The key is to stay the course, to stay steady, and to stay true with our learning. God wants us to not be foolish, but to understand. You know, be intent on learning, dedicated to it, admitting that you still have a lot to learn. Folks, I learn every day. Even in the class that I'm teaching on Sunday mornings, as I restudy those and I redo those lessons for this class, even though I've taught it before, I'm changing them. I'm learning new things I didn't see the last time I taught it. I have taught the book of Revelation 4 times and taught, you know, and found new things every time. I taught the book of Acts, I don't know how many times. Jenny might have an idea. 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And every time I study that book, I find new things I didn't find before. That's the wonder of God's Word. I hope I never reach a point, and God help me if I do, where I think I've got it all down, where I think I know everything, because I certainly don't. And I'll let you in on a little secret. Neither do you. We need to continue to study and be intent on learning. We need to open our hearts so that we may be easy to teach. I've had a 10-year-old teach me. I remember someone telling me one time, no 22-year-old is going to tell me what the Bible says. He needed to be told what the Bible said. But I had a 10-year-old come up to me and correct me on something in one of my lessons. You know what? That kid was right. I thanked him for it. I didn't go, I'm the preacher. You need to go back to your mom and daddy. I thanked him for it. What a wonderful young man to catch me in a mistake. And I make mistakes. Don't ever be too proud to accept teaching. We need to look at history, your own, others, benefit from the lessons there. I've told young preachers so many times, I try to tell them, brother, learn from other people's mistakes. Don't be determined to make your own. Much easier to listen to older preachers and let us tell you, or let you know, my dad or others tell me what is a mistake and what they had to go through because they made it. It's much easier to let them suffer it and avoid it.
There's some young preachers that are just going, well, they're bound and determined to go out there and learn that lesson themselves, and I guess you just have to let them. Now, let's learn from other people's mistakes, such as the Israelites. Romans 15 and 4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, you might have hope." We look to the Scriptures, we look at what has happened in the past, so that we understand better how to live. And then we need to pray for wisdom, that we might know best how to apply what the Bible teaches in our lives. What do I need from this Scripture? You know, when you study your Bible, don't just read it just to get, you know, I got to get my chapter done tonight. Shut the Bible. Oh, done today. Read those Scriptures and ask yourself, how does this apply to me? What is being taught here that can help me? Study your Bible. Don't just read it. Learn from it. Meditate upon it. You know, in the last part of that reading we had just a moment ago, you had the blind man, didn't you? It's kind of an unusual miracle. It's a different one. We got Jesus spitting again, you know, for a blind man. You know, he made mud with one guy. And you know, we kind of go, ugh, about that. But on this guy, he spits on this guy's eyes and he lays hands on him. And it's like the only miracle we read about from Jesus where the person's not instantly healed. But Jesus is making the point. Jesus didn't fail. He didn't mess up. You know, he goes, oops, that's the wrong prescription for that. He didn't mess up. He's making a point. You know, he said, can you see? He said, well, kind of. It's better. I see people, but they're kind of like trees. You know, they're a little blurry. So Jesus laid hands on him again, looked at him intently. And then his eyesight was perfectly clear. You know, there's going to be times in our lives where our understanding of things gets a little blurry, right? But we just keep looking to Jesus. And He will clear it all up. Problem is, we look too many other places to find clarity. And Jesus is the place that we need to look. This morning, if you're not a child of God, we hope and pray that you are willing to learn about God. Learn about His Word. If you do not understand what you need to do today, then speak to someone here this morning and know that we're willing to sit down with you and study with you from God's Word. We don't want to teach you what we know. We want to teach you what God has said, so that you might know what He has in store for your life. Be willing to learn. Open your eyes and your ears and your heart that Jesus can heal you. If you already understand what you need to do, the only question is, why haven't you done it? Be willing to not only learn, but to obey what God has commanded. Come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. If you're a child of God this morning and maybe you haven't been the most receptive learner, maybe you've had some of these learning problems, maybe you think you know enough, know that you don't. And begin once again the steady study of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you what, nothing else in this world will get you where you need to be. I remind you again what Peter said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And He does. Come to Him this morning as we stand and as we sing.